Até que um dia me falou: tá em quê? How is the blueberry?
Good morning. I welcome you all on this beautiful Sunday morning, October 25th, 2020, on our joint services between the Presbyterian Church of Teaneck, the United Presbyterian Church of Patterson, and members of Emmanuel Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Let us be called to worship. For God so loved the world
in success and failure, in sickness and
health, in mediocrity and extraordinary. For God so loved the world enough to become one of us, enough to suffer along with us, enough to offer new life for us. For God so loved the world, let us worship God. Our opening hymn is Morning Has Broken, and those of you who actually have the Presbyterian hymnals can find it at 469.
Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the word. Sweet the rains new fall, sunlit from heaven, like the first dewfall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the wet garden, sprung in completeness where God's feet pass. Mine is the sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the one light Eden saw play. Praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new day.
Amen. Please join me in the prayer of confession. Holy God, we confess that we are an impatient and selfish people, When you offer us the promise of a new future, we complain that you do not get there fast enough. When you provide for our needs, we complain that it is not enough. And when our bad attitudes and negative outlooks cause us to stumble, we blame you. Holy God, forgive our sinful ways. Teach us to be patient. Instruct us to be grateful. Guide us to be responsible and humble as we turn ourselves around and look to the cross. Let us experience your grace and your gift of new life. In the name of Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Friends, hear the good news. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who desireth not the death of a sinner, but rather that he may turn from his wickedness and live. He pardons and absolves all those who truly and earnestly repent and unfeignedly believe his holy gospel. Wherefore, let us beseech him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do at this present, and that the rest of our lives hereafter may be pure and holy, so that at the last we may come to his eternal joy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Please join us in prayer of thanksgiving. Glory be to you, O Lord, for you lead us onwards when all things seem impossible to us. You give us what we need to keep going. You offer us peace, power, strength, love, humility, and those gifts of the Holy Spirit necessary for us to live and work in the world. May we always be thankful for your generosity and love, and may we always yield to your wisdom and authority for our own sake and for the sake of your kingdom. Amen. Our scripture lesson are both from the New Testament. The first lesson is actually taken from Luke, not John. It's taken from Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 16. And then the second reading will be taken from Romans 15, verses 4 through 13. Let's listen to the word of the Lord. Luke chapter 3. Verses 1 through 16. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judea, and Herod, being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea, and Trachonitis and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, in the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region about the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He said, therefore, to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits that befit repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the multitudes asked him, "What shall we do?" And he answered them, "He who has two coats, let him share with him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise." Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than is appointed you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Rob no one by violence or by false accusation, and be content with your wages." As the people were in expectation, all men questioned in their hearts concerning John, whether perhaps he were the Christ. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the thong of those sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." This ends the reading of Luke. Thanks be to God. Second lesson is taken from Romans chapter 15, verses 4 through 13. "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, 'Therefore I will praise thee among the Gentiles and sing to thy name.' And again it is said, 'Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people.' And again, 'Praise the Lord, O Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him.' And further Isaiah says, 'The root of Jesse shall come. He who rises to rule the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles hope.' May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit may abound in hope." Here ends the reading of the New Testament.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eye. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries. Only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the Lord? We are called to take His light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through His love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life. Only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that we must give our lives for people need the Lord. People need the
Amen and amen.
Amen.
As we live through these troubled times, it never could be more true than what Jeremy just shared with us, that indeed people need the Lord. These are the times. So good morning, church.
Good morning.
Indeed, what we are enjoying here today is a good morning, church. The sun is shining and we are here gathered in God's house. Because of COVID-19, for several months, we have not been able to gather in God's house. But under the leadership of our pastor, the Reverend Dr. Gloria Jean Tate, the diligence of our music director, Sister Heather Bennett, and our soloist, we heard from Jeremy this morning, music is such an integral part of our service, and the willingness and technical skill of several of our members, we thank God this morning because the building has been closed, but the church has been open.
Amen.
Through that same technology, we've been able to fellowship with our brothers and sisters at the United Church in Patterson, the Emmanuel Church in Indianapolis, and members of our family all around the country by way of Zoom or telephone. As part of our service that we all miss is when we ask our visitors to stand and identify themselves. Well, we don't have any way of knowing how many visitors we have with us this morning, but to those we say welcome. To members of our family who are with us around the country, you've moved away, but still consider Teaneck as your church home, we say welcome home. This COVID-19 has given new meaning to the scripture which says, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. The building is open and we are taking precautions for your safety. So come on home. Come on home. To our visitors, on behalf of our pastor, our session, and our members, we say welcome to the Teaneck Church. And if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're looking for a church home, our doors are open, and indeed, here at Teaneck, you're welcome. We're living through some tough times, friends. Blanche and I look through this pandemic like we do so often. We were watching TV the other day, and the thought occurred that it was certainly more fun being in our 20s during the 70s than it's been thus far being in our 70s during the 20s. But we have so much to be thankful for. Even before the pandemic hit us, things were so different. With the advent of Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and text messaging and email, we're losing the ability to talk civilly to each other. You call your bank or any other business that you're dealing with, and you get a recording telling you how important your call is. Then you get a series of choices. Press 1, press 2, press 3, or if you know your party's extension, you may dial that at any time. But then they make you feel guilty because they say if you still want to talk to somebody, you can either stay on the line or press a button and we'll call you back in the order in which your call was received. Then they make it doubly guilty. They say, if you insist on staying on the line, we are experiencing heavy call volume. So the length of our stay is much longer. Your call will be answered in the order it was received, and the current wait time is 3 days. The other day, I was in my car right here on Teaneck Road waiting for the light to change. Suddenly, my car started shaking. The windows were rattling. And I'm saying, my God, what's going on here? And I look back and 3 or 4 cars behind me, there was a young fella sitting in his car, all the windows down and the radio just blasting. Boom, 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 boom. And I'm listening to the language. I'm saying, my goodness, I remember, Dave, if you said something like that, your mother would be reaching for a bar of soap. But young people, the music they say today, I'm wondering what happened to the days when we had love songs. What happened to the days when Nat King Cole sang about being unforgettable? Sam Cooke said, you send me. How many of you remember Jerry Butler? Jerry was so cool, they called him the Iceman. And he sang for your precious love. Then there was even the great Jackie Wilson who sang to be loved, to be loved. My Lord, what a feeling to be loved. What happened to music like that? There was even music with important messages, like Curtis Mayfield had a song entitled, People Get Ready. He said, get ready, there's a train a-coming. You don't need no ticket, you just get on board. He said, there's no room for the hopeless sinner. You just grab your package and thank the Lord. Yes, my friends, that message continues to resonate today. People, get ready. In fact, that today is our morning message. Get ready. Think about it, friends. When guests are coming to your house, you prepare, you clean up, you straighten up, you cook, you fix drinks. Sometimes you even buy new clothes. As Christians, we know that, pardon me. As Christians, we know that God is coming again. John told us that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that all who believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible tells us that John was sent to prepare the people of Israel for the coming of the Messiah. John said that I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. Repent, you brood of vipers. I baptize you with waters, but one is coming, and I'm not worthy to tie his shoes. Those of us that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior know that he's coming again. We know that he's coming again, but this time he's not coming as a baby boy. No, this time he's coming in all his glory. He's coming as the King of Kings. He's coming as the Lord of Lords. This time when he comes, his peace shall reign forever. And we know from our Bible study that he's coming to judge both the quick and the dead. Now, our Bible, friends, is a wonderful, wonderful book. It's a guide as to how we should live our lives. It answers many of our questions. We can rely on our Bible in times of need and times of adversity. Again, it tells us that he's coming again. We know that our Bible tells us that Jesus is coming again. But one thing, one question that it does not answer, there is not one scripture in the Bible, any place, I defy anybody to show me, that says when he's going to come. So our first question this morning, friends, are you ready? If he came last night, would you have been ready? If he came last week, would you be ready? If he comes this afternoon, are you ready? Now, going back to our Bible, John tells us exactly how to prepare for the coming of our Savior. Now, you may want to make some mental notes because this is some very important information. John tells us that we need to confess our sin to God. Our first step is to confess. We need to be reminded of our sinful nature. By nature, we're sinful people. We live good lives, but still, we're sinners. How many of you have hosta plants in your yard? Well, you can run over them with your lawnmower. You can cut them down with your weed whacker. You can jump up and down, but the roots are so deep, they keep coming back. And that's the same thing as our sinful nature. If you don't snatch out the roots, it keeps coming back. And only a life in Jesus Christ can help you step out those roots. Don't you think for one minute that when you confess that God, that you're telling God something that he doesn't know? He knows all of our sins. But when we confess, we acknowledge to him that we know that we have sinned. Now, I was raised in the Episcopal Church. And in our Episcopal church, we used to say that we acknowledge our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed by thought, word, and deed against thy divine majesty. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us, and the burden is intolerable. Yes, my friends, you can sin by thought, word and deed. You don't have to shoot somebody. You don't have to steal anything. But sometimes our thoughts, our words, and our deeds fall short of the glory of God. Just think about that, friends. Think about it. You know, the physicists tell us that when we speak, our vocal cords resonate and send out a sound wave. And that wave goes off in many, many directions. And it hits the eardrum of the listener. And that eardrum transfers it to the brain. And the brain translates it into a thought or a message. Now, some of these scientists are thinking outside of the box. They're saying that that those sound waves that are out there, that once they admit it, they're still out there. And if someone could develop a device that could pick up those sound waves, you could listen to anything that's ever been said. Just think about it, friends. You could listen to Abraham Lincoln give the Gettysburg Address. You could listen to Jesus Christ give his Sermon on the Mount. And what might be frightening to many of us, anything that you've ever said could be broadcasted and shared with the whole world. Think about that, friends. I once heard a story about four preachers who got together on one afternoon and just for a little fellowship, and they were just talking with one another and fellowshipping. Some folks say they might have had a couple of bottles of Pinot Grigio to help them fellowship a little bit. But the thought occurred to one. He said, well, you know, we always listening to people's confession. Maybe we ought to confess now that we sitting here with one another. The other three said, yeah, that's probably a good idea. So the first one said, well, I'll start off. I like to gamble. Sometimes when nobody's looking, I take off my collar and I go over to the casino. I go straight to the crap table and I put a chip on the line and wait for it to come out. Then if things get good, I throw a $5 chip out there and tell the dealer to give me a $5 yo. And if things are going real good, I throw $10 out there and tell the dealer, $10 hard ways, heavy on the 10. Now I know that many of you good Christian brothers and sisters don't have any idea what I'm talking about when I talk about the come out and the yo and the hard ways. But rest assured, you will not be learning how to shoot crap this morning at the Teenage Church. These examples are given for purposes of illustration only. So understand that, friends. The second preacher said, well, my issue is I like material things. I wear designer clothes. I have several very fancy watches. Several pieces of jewelry. Every year I get a new car. And my wife and I have several pieces of artwork in our home, and I just love the material things. Well, the third preacher said, well, I'm almost ashamed to admit it, but I have a problem with lust. He said, sometimes I just like to go over and sit in the park and watch all the beautiful women walk by. And sometimes when it gets too cold, I go into the mall and sit on the bench. And again, I watch all of the beautiful women walk by. To me, that's my issue. So I went to the fourth brother and said, well, what is yours, brother? He said, I can't tell you guys. You guys, if I tell you, you're going to be mad at me. He said, no, brother, three of us have confessed. You got to confess. What is it? He said, well, my problem is that I like to gossip. And I'm such that whatever I hear, I find that I was not blessed with the strength to keep it to myself. Anytime I hear something, I run right out and I tell anybody who will listen, everybody who will listen, exactly what I heard, and I cannot wait to get out of here this evening. So much for confessions, friends. When we confess, we are agreeing with God that we have sinned. But we have to take responsibility for the sin that we commit. We have to take responsibility for the times we fall short. The story is told about a preacher. One Sunday morning, he's in the pulpit preaching, and he could see there was someone outside peeping in the window. Well, he didn't think much about it, so he just kept on preaching. And then he looked, and the person outside, he couldn't see him real clear, but it appeared that he was in some kind of distress. So the preacher kept on, and then he looked, and he could see that this guy was crying. He looked like he was really upset. So the preacher called up one of the deacons and said, "Go outside and bring him in so we can minister to him." So the deacon went outside and went around the side of the building and got out there, and he saw that the guy looking through the window was the devil. The deacon knew the preacher told him to bring him in, so he brought him inside. Can you imagine the thought the congregation had when they saw the preacher bringing the devil into the church? Well, he brought him down to the front, and the devil said, "Preacher, you know I'm the devil, and you know I'm up to no good. Everything I do is no good, but I'm just sick and tired of all these Christians that I've never come in contact with, that I've never had any dealings with, that every time they do something wrong, they blame it on me." How many times have you heard a Christian say, "The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it"? There's even a commercial on TV where there's a little boy, and I think he's made a mess in the kitchen. He got food all around his mouth. His shirt is covered with food. And his father look at him. He say, "I didn't do it. I didn't do it." Friends, we have to take advantage. We have to take responsibility. Maybe you don't have a sinful act to confess, but you need to come before God every day, because only God can overcome your sinful roots. Sin can be subtle, friends. It sneaks up on you. It sneaks up on you. It's kind of like out in the country where cows in the field, and the cow eats the grass, and then he move over and eat a little more grass, and he move over and eat a little more grass, and then he gets to a place where there may be a hole in the fence, and he starts nibbling the grass outside of the fence and further away. Next thing you know, he's lost in the woods. And that's how it is with us as sin, friends. We don't start out at the top of the list. Sometimes we commit doing little things, and we get farther and farther and farther away from our God. And we get to the point where we wonder, "How did I get over here?" Got over here because you allowed yourself to commit those sins. Here at the Teaneck Church, we think confession is so important that we have a prayer of confession every Sunday. We had one this morning. And then immediately after our prayer, Pastor Tate gives us what we call an assurance of pardon. An assurance. God assures us that all who truly and earnestly repent and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, that you indeed are forgiven. Just as by nature we're sinful people, also by nature we have a need to know that we are forgiven. We have a need to know that we're forgiven. That's why we have the assurance of pardon. Stories told about a preacher who graduated from a seminary, opened up a little church, and he was ministering to his flock, and the church was growing and things were going very well, but there was something in this preacher's mind that he committed something he had done before he went to the seminary. He wasn't quite sure what it was, but it bothered him, and he just couldn't shake that thought. Now, there was a lady in his church who claimed that God, Jesus, came to visit her all during the week. Now, make no mistake, friends, there's absolutely nothing wrong with taking some time to talk with Jesus every single day. We encourage that. We recommend that. Jesus invites when he says, "Come unto me, all who travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you." But the difference with this lady, she said that Jesus was coming to her house 3 or 4 times a week, sitting at her table and fellowshipping with her individually. Well, naturally, the preacher was a little skeptical. So he said to her when she's walking out to church, he told her about his situation, said, "I want you to ask Jesus about that the next time he comes." So the following Sunday, she was in church again. So the preacher said to her, "Well, did you see Jesus this week?" She said, "Yes, I did." "Well, did you remember what I wanted you to do?" She said, "Yes, I did." "Well, did you ask Jesus if he remembered me?" She said, "Yes, I did." "Did you ask him if I was forgiven for my sins?" She said, "Yes, I did." "Well, did you ask him what it was?" She said, "Yes, I did." He said, "Well, praise God, what was it?" And she said, "Jesus said he doesn't remember. He doesn't remember." Now, my friends, it's true that Jesus is 2,000 years old, but he does not suffer from memory loss. Jesus does not need Prevagen. The fact is that Jesus is different than we are. As humans, we forgive, but we don't forget. God forgets. When you commit a sin, God forgets and wipes that away, and your slate is clean. When God forgives, he forgets. When God forgives, he forgets. When you truly accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all our sin, all your sin is forgiven. So our second question this morning, church, have you accepted Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus? And if so, you can rejoice this morning because all your sin has been washed away. You can rejoice this morning because all of your sin has been washed away. The third teaching that we have this morning, friends, is that we need to live a holy life. A holy life. In our first lesson this morning, John the Baptist is telling the crowd to prepare, for the Messiah is coming. He said, "One is coming who's going to baptize you with fire, and I'm not worthy to even untie his shoes." But now think about who is John talking to. He's talking to the crowd. These folks don't know anything about Jesus. They don't know anything about Christianity. God is bringing them the Christian methods. He says, "What should we do?" They ask him from the crowd. As Bruce read to us this morning, he told them, "If you have 2 coats, give one to the poor." Now, that's a new message for those folks, but that's what Jesus is calling them to do. "If you have extra food, share your food." He told the tax collectors, "Don't collect more than you do. Don't collect more than you do." He told the soldiers, "Don't extort people, don't falsely accuse people, and be content with what you have." Be content with what you have. The story is told about a gentleman who was a very good provider for his family. He bought his wife and children almost everything that they needed. They went to the best schools. They lived in a beautiful house. He made sure that all his kids were equipped with the latest technology. They had iPads, iPhones. They had all kinds of computers. He provided for his family. But sadly, this brother passed away. And when he passed away, his soul rose to the gates of heaven. And when he got there, he saw St. Peter standing at the gate. And he learned that St. Peter had a huge book. And in that book, there was a page for each of us. And on that page, St. Peter had made notes of everything that we had done during our lives for the glory of God. And St. Peter said, well, my friend, I can't find one example of you reaching out to feed the hungry. I cannot find one example of you reaching out to bring thirst, bring water to the thirsty. I don't see one example of you visiting someone who was sick or in prison. I don't see one example where you reached out to one of the least of these, his brother. And so I'm sorry. You can't be admitted. Yes, my friends, we can do all kinds of things for ourselves and our family, but that's not what God calls us to do. God calls us to love your neighbor as yourself, to do things, reach out. Bible talks about Mary and Martha, two sisters. Jesus was on his way to the sea and he stopped by their house. And as you know, when guests come to your house, Martha was cleaning up the house, preparing food, and because she had a very special guest coming. And when Jesus arrived, Martha continued to work and clean up, and Mary sat there at the foot of Jesus, listening to him preach and minister to the family, to the folks. Martha said to Jesus, he said, Jesus, you see Mary, she's not helping me. Why don't you tell her that she ought to help me clean up? And Jesus told her, no, what Mary is doing is correct. The only thing that counts is what you do for Jesus. The only thing that counts is for what you do with God. Sometimes we get so busy doing things, we're running here and there, we're jumping up and down, but we forgot that God said to love your neighbor as yourself. He said, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Friends, don't allow yourselves to get bogged down doing things that really don't matter. In the end, the only thing that matters is what you do for God. Some even asked John if he was the Messiah. John said, no, I'm not the Messiah. He said, once again, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who's going to baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. And I'm not worthy to even tie his shoes, but get ready because he's coming. John knew that the Lord commanded folks to love the Lord their God with all their heart. He knew that he commanded folks to love your neighbor as yourself. And being a Christian means having a special relationship with Jesus, out of which you also love the people that God brings into your life, and you minister to those needs, to their needs. This is what Paul is talking about when he's talking to the Romans. You see, these Romans and the people of Israel at that time, they didn't know a whole lot about Jesus. Christianity was just getting started. Paul told them, you know, that the Jews had been practicing their religion for centuries. They had all kind of dietary laws. They prayed on a corner three or four times a day, and they shouted, Lord, Lord. And Paul was telling them, you can continue to do that, but understand that's not the essence of your relation with the God who's coming. The relation, your essence of the with your relation with the God who's coming is to love your neighbor and love your God. He even with their dietary laws, they look down on the Gentiles, you know. And Paul told, well, there's nothing wrong with this guy. He might every now and then like a plate of spare ribs or a ham sandwich. There's no reason for you to look down on him. He told the Gentiles, Paul did, to glorify God for his mercy and praise the Lord. That's a lesson that we need to observe today, my friends. A lesson that we need to observe today. And our final lesson this morning is that we expect the Lord to come at any time. Everyone was expecting the Messiah to come soon. Some even thought that John was the Messiah, but John said, no, it's not me. He said that when he comes, he's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. He's going to clean the threshing area. He's going to store the wheat and burn the chaff. So our final question this morning, friends, is how are you preparing for the coming of Jesus? Are you preparing each day for Jesus to come into your life? Preparing for guests takes time and effort, so don't be caught by surprise. Don't wait until the last minute, because it may be too late. My friends, won't you pray with me at this time? Lord Jesus, there's only so much we can do to prepare for your coming. Grant us a deep desire to spend time with you each day in prayer, study, and service. Move us to love and compassion for those you bring into our lives. Let us be channels of your love to all with whom we cross paths. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, whom we expect to meet every day, let all the people of God say, amen. Amen.
We do have some joys and concerns, announcements. In this week, we just want to let the congregation know that Sunday school will be resuming next week, November 1st. So that is a good thing. We do have some prayers that we're asking for Kathy Wahlberg, who is facing surgery tomorrow on her left eye. And the Collier family has asked for prayers for their family friend, Crystal Bates, who recently passed.
Friends, in the same way that we set aside some time every Sunday morning to have a prayer of confession, we set aside time each and every Sunday to have a talk with our God. Bruce read some concerns, and if you have concerns, if any of you out there on the airways within the sound of my voice, if you have concerns, things that are bothering you, things that you want to take to the Lord in prayer, now is your time as we take this moment to have a little talk with Jesus. Lord Jesus, we come to you today with praise and thanksgiving for your many blessings. We ask you to cleanse our hearts and show us if there's any unconfessed sin, let us know. We thank you through your name that we can come boldly before you and pray with confidence according to your will, knowing that you hear us. We lift up those in our neighborhood, those in our city, and those in our church. Begin with those who follow you and help them influence others for good. Let them be salt and light, pointing others to you. Deepen their love for you and for the people around them. Guard them from hypocrisy or from giving in to temptations that could harm the cause of Christ. Raise up leaders who will serve you faithfully at all costs. Turn the hearts of fathers toward their children and families toward you. Help them to exemplify your values and make them bold in your faith. May our love for you help us to love and forgive others and make a difference in our world. Father, we pray for teachers and students and for all those in authority and leadership, both locally and throughout the world. Give them your mind and surround them with godly counselors who will exercise integrity and work for justice, morality, and freedom. Help them to esteem you, not to dismiss you. Lord, we pray this morning that you send down a spirit of revival. We pray for the lost, the hurting, the lonely, the sick, the bereaved, and those who are imprisoned, both visible and invisible walls. Send your comfort, your peace, and your calming presence to those who are without hope. Protect the defenseless and hold them close to your heart. We pray for laborers to tell the good news of Jesus to people around the world. Our hearts cry out for the persecuted believers too. Make them brave and give them your powerful protection. We pray you will bring swift justice to those who want to destroy the innocent and those who carry your name. Bind the power of Satan and strengthen believers everywhere. Jesus, we have so many needs, but you are adequate for every need. Your name is powerful and your power is great. So it's in your name that together we now pray as you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, our closing hymn this morning is Guide My Feet, printed on your insert, and just listen to the words and sing along. Guide my feet as I run this race. Brother Jeremy.
Guide my feet while I run this race. Guide my feet while I run this race. Guide my feet while I run this race. For I don't want to run this race in vain. Hold my hand while I run this race. Hold my hand while I run this race. Hold my hand while I run this race. For I don't want to run this race in vain. Stand by me while I run this race. Oh, stand by me while I run this race. Stand by me while I run this race. For I don't want to run this race in vain. I'm your child while I run this race. I'm your child while I run this race. I'm your child while I run this race, for I don't want to run this race in vain. Search my heart while I run this race. Oh, search my heart while I run this race. Oh, search my heart while I run this race. For I don't want to run this race in vain. Guide my feet while I run this race. Guide my feet while I run this race. Guide my feet while I run this race, for I don't want to run this race in vain, race in vain.
Friends, you've heard the word of God this morning. As we prepare to leave God's house, as we prepare to leave our Zoom meetings, as we prepare to mute or unmute our telephones, let us prepare to go forth into the world with a promise to our God that all that we do and all that we say will be in His service and in preparation for His coming again. So on that great getting up morning when He comes, indeed, we will be ready. Friends, go in peace. Now, I do want to remind you that we, after the conclusion of the service, we can unmute our phones and unmute the Zoom meetings and have time of fellowship where you can commune with one another. Go in peace. Thanks be to God.